Landale. Delavadova for three, gets it. Mills out to Delavadova, goes to the three. My goodness.
NBA Strayer. Hey, yeah, that's right, man. It's NBA Strayer. It's Monday, September 2. Dose. And I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet walking around folding stuff beer money. That's what I'm after. And I'm here in Larry Arm Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA offseason today. Breaking down, wrapping up every little bit of NBA and FIBA World Cup action for you while repping Stray just a little bit, mate. That's what we do. I'm basically like, you know, one of the FIBA commentators, but not Canadian. All right, speaking of which, the FIBA World Cup has kicked off, or bounced off, I guess. Kickoff would be more the soccer one, wouldn't it? Anyway, the Boomers gave us a bit of a scare in game one against Canada. But they got a win, so we'll break down Boomers Canada game one with all your old favourites. That means the NBA Australia approved performance of the night. Old mate, no mates, spud of the night, better than Lonzo Ball, dickhead of the weekend. We're also going to have a bit of yeah nah about the Boomers and some random NBA stuff. But this will be a quick hitter, but it'll be fun. So, we should get to it. We're also going to do a sneaky new deli review at the end of the show. Hot from China, which is legendary. All right, man, let's get to it. It's NBA Strayer episode 324. Let's go.
This is Matthew Delvedover, and you're listening to NBA Strayer.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Wow, you better. Or, more befitting yesterday's performance, you better watch out for the Delhi attack. That's right, the attack of King Delhi, of Maribor and now Canada. Absolutely wild scenes. Absolutely wild. All right, let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with a daily whip around. Just a quick little bit of NBA news before we get stuck into the Boomers Canada. There was an arrest warrant out for Boogie. Boogie! After the big fella, you know, tore his ACL. There's a misdemeanor domestic violence charge. Yeah, you know we're in the dog days of NBA offseason where the stories are basically like Eric Gordon getting an extension from the Rockets. Karis, my sweet baby, Karis LeVert getting an extension and Boogie Cousins having an arrest warrant out for him. Not great. Not great. Anyway, apparently, according to a former girlfriend of Boogie, he threatened her and has previously choked her. And apparently, allegedly said that he would put a bullet in her fucking head after about trying to allow their 7-year-old kid to attend Boogie's wedding to a new girlfriend, lady, fiance. Yeah, it sounds a bit fucked and it's some bullshit. So, how about we just move on from that? Anyway, Eric Gordon, old roundhead himself, has reached a $54.5 million for 3 years of a bit of a contract extension with the Rockets. That goes through to 2022-23. I mean, sure. Anytime you can extend the, shooting guard who just launches without any sort of scaric of conscience alongside Rusty Westbrook and James Harden, sure. Why not? Why not? Eric Gordon was good last year. I'll shut the fuck up. Good job, Eric Gordon. On you, mate. What else? That's about it. I mean, as mentioned, my sweet baby Carrot signed his extension as well, which I thought was pretty cool, right? Because, shit, like, A, the dude was on pace to be an all-star last year, and he signed, like, a pretty great, like, little sort of extension where I think the Nets got really, really good value. It's, like, less than $20 million a year, 3 year, 52 and a half. It's fucking great. That's awesome. I love it. So good job, Nets. Good job, my sweet baby Carrots. It's going to be one of those things the Nets need to do, right? If they're going to try to build an actual contender around Kyrie Irving and the coward snake Kevin Durant, you need dudes on Karis LeVert on good deals. Jared Allen as well. Got Joe Harris on the cheap. It's pretty good. In a surprise twist, I think the Nets front office is smart. All right, so there you go. That's in the books. I don't know, is there any other news? Nah, fuck it. That'll do me. Yeah, whatever. So let's go and wrap up Boomers Canada, the first game of the FIBA World Cup for the Aussies, right after, let's say this.
Hey, this is Isaac Humphries, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Let's wrap up game one of the Boomers World Cup campaign. The Boomers come out firing on all cylinders and beat Canada 108-92. Weird game. Weird game. I mean, I'm watching the first half in a car on my phone, of all bloody things. While old mate was driving us back from, a bit of a
Father's Day lunch out the country, mate. It was lovely.
Squid's asleep in the back. I'm sitting there on my phone trying not to feel car sick. That fucking sucks, I'll tell you that much. I'm like, all right, cool, man. 52-40 after the first half. Rip up. We get home. And I'm like, all right, sweet. Before the second half starts, I better unpack the car, chuck some shit in the house, sit down, turn on the tally, and we're fucking down 5. What happened? Anyway, yeah, it was weird. So the Boomers kicked Canada to 40 points the first half, despite having, I think it was 9 or 10 turnovers. They lead by 12, but then obviously, as mentioned, crap the bed a bit. I was tweeting out a bunch of this as well. They crapped the bed a bit in the last 25 seconds of the first half. Gave up an easy open 3, then a bad offensive foul from Jingles with 12 seconds left. And a little bit more rubbish D let them score again. So a 17-point lead just was only suddenly 12. And you're like, we should be right. And then the third quarter fucking happened. And I don't know about you, but what the utter bullshit bug fuck was that? 12-point lead gone in a flash. Literally, they gave up 9 points in the first minute of the third quarter. Gave up 11 straight. We lead by 1. Dele hits a 3 and you're like, oh, no, we're good. And then Canada go out and score 7 more straight. Strayer are down. They get down 5. I sit back down going, what the fuck just happened? Go back and watch it later and just go, Jesus. Big Dick Kem Birch has this massive put back. They're up 5 and there's like 5.5 minutes left. We end up down 6 with 4 minutes 40 left. Then, thank the Grey Mamba, Andrew Gaze, our Lord and Savior, because then Chris Goulding came on. Steady the ship. Goulding, Bogut, Patty, they got us back into it. Goulding was incredible. Look, Dele and Jingles also like did their part, really sort of just slowing the game down, sort of protecting the ball. We didn't have any more turnovers basically after that 4 minute 40 moments in the third quarter as well, which was huge. Nick Kay helped out as well. A lot more energy. Dele starts hitting 3s. Australia gets back up in the third quarter. Just some more sketchy D down the stretch. The Boomers end up down 1 going into the fourth. It was just weird, right? It was like the D was gross. Cannon just ran some basic stuff and we turned the ball over a bunch in the first half of that third quarter. But, you know, lucky. This Australian team has like veteran heady dudes like Dele, like Jingles, like Patty Mills, like Bogut. And they could sort of just go, no, look, we don't have to fucking panic. Just tighten up the D, and then bang. It was all right. We had a banger's alley-oop from Jingles, which was absolutely mega. We get up 7 after a bit of a tussle at the start of the fourth. Patty gets going. Dele gets going. Dele then hits 4 fucking 3s in the fourth quarter, and it was over. We never looked back. By the time Jingles hit a 3 to put us up 16 with 3 minutes left, it was just like, what the fuck did we all just watch? It was absolutely bananas. Bangers, Nick Kay, Bogut, they did all like a really, really good job, I think, on the boards. It was just like a pretty solid outing in the end, apart from basically 5 minutes of a third quarter, you know? Which is pretty fucking strange because you feel like this is a sort of team where you're like, look, they are, as mentioned, veterans. They all are pretty smart basketball players. You shouldn't have those sort of lapses, but, we came out all right. So you'll take that. The rebounding battle, we won that by 7, 37 to 30. It was pretty big. We shot pretty handily. 11 of 27 from 3 versus 9 of 27. So you'll take that every day of the week. Most of our goal, like we shot 58% from the field versus Canada's 47.9%. So, yeah, you'll take that one. Good stuff. The big key, though, I kind of mentioned it, was the zero turnovers in the fourth quarter. Joe Ingles just slowed it all down, looking a lot more deliberate, looking much more poised, and away we went. It was pretty much Goulding scoring 7 points in the first and third quarters as well. Got us back into it. Cooler heads prevailed. No one panicked. And they come out and fucking smash them. The lot, you know, 108-92 is a little bit of a misnomer as well. Canada just scored a, you know, meaningless three at the very end. So didn't really even feel as close to 16 for basically the last half of the fourth quarter. Good win. Tough win. Nice test of the Boomers' mettle, I think, which is pretty cool. I mean, they lose to Germany the other day in the other warm-up game. This is exactly what you wanted to see out of them, apart from that third quarter. The spacing out at the start of that third quarter was pretty brutal. It was hard to watch. And Lamanis actually, you know, at least acknowledged it. And it goes to show that I think I kind of alluded to this, that our talent level on this Boomers team is good enough that we can bounce back when we fuck up, but it's also not high enough that we can just coast to wins. So in classic Boomers fashion, they have to be fucking on, you know, at least 95% of the game to really make sure they win. So you take this win. It was nice. We also set a couple of records. We had 23 total assists in the Boomers game. That equaled the record for assists in a World Cup game. And the 108 points total that we put up was the most the Boomers have ever scored in a World Cup game, which is pretty awesome. Good job by the Green and Gold. All right, let's hand out some awards, though, shall we? Oh, man, I've really missed doing game wraps. So let's do it. It's about time for the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Who could it be but King Dally? Woo! King Dally of Maribara and Canada. First of his name, stopper of curries, decker of beals, gatherer of loose balls, smasher of tins, sinker of threes. Unbelievable. Unbelievable performance from King Dally. Matty Dellavedova. I did tweet out, I think, yesterday, King Dally for PM and King Dally shooting coach for deputy PM. Holy shit. 6 of 10 from three for Dally. Absolutely wild scenes. He goes 9 of 13 for overall. He just looked incredible. Look, there was a bit of space, I feel like, because the Canadians really, really, really glommed onto Patty Mills. Dally could always just sort of shake free just that little bit, and the Canadians weren't really that interested in, you know, bodying him up. And Dally made them pay. 24 points, 9 of 13 from the field. Took the game by the scruff of the fucking neck. Just like, you know, out there on the footy field in the freezing cold rain in Maribara. It was really also almost like he was going up against Steph Curry or something. So 19 second half points from Dally just really pushes the Australians to victory. Just 3 of 4 from downtown. Oh, just unbelievable. It was pretty funny, actually. So I think we actually saw a box and one against Patty Mills. Nick Nurse is out there trying to slow the Australians down. Dally just shakes three and just, you know, kept dropping bombs. So that was amazing. What an absolute showing from a dead set Aussie ledge. On your Dally, that was easily the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Night. Honorable mention though, but uh-oh, Canada. That's right. You just got jingled, you freaking morons. Woo! Jingles gives me tingles. His playmaking was crucial in this. The former South Dragon star, current Utah Jazz. His playmaking was just absolutely unreal, absolutely crucial. Gave the Boomers just that sort of heady sense of calm and poise. Finishes out with 13 points, 10 assists. And as I tweeted out yesterday, if we win gold, I'm going to get a tattoo of the Jingles one-legged Dirk Nowitzki fadeaway jumper that he hit, which was absolutely wild. And I don't feel like it can be understated just how handy it is to have someone like Jingles on this team where you don't have to have all the ball handling all the time, you know, from the guard. You get playmaking out of the Jingle spot. You get playmaking out of the Bogut spot. Bangers can throw a pass here and there. I mean, Patty and Dally, they're good. They're pretty good with the ball. But, man, when you can just go, oh, fucking Jingles, can you just run a bit of pick and roll for us? And he's like, oh, yeah, I got you. Off you go. pretty great. The poise under pressure, the decision making, it was just really, really good and really, really handy. And the final honorable mention goes to Chris Goulding. That's right. Chris bloody Goulding, the Breville Quick Touch. He's the best microwave on the market. He was incredible. They'd been outscored 22-7 in the second half when Goulding came back in. And then they absolutely smoked them from that point on. Goulding had 7 in the first quarter, 7 in the third, and absolutely crushed. He had 16 points off the bench in 18 minutes on 6 of 7 shooting. Vinny the Microwave Johnson, basically. Absolutely unreal stuff. Really, really stoked on that. It was awesome. Good job, Chris Goulding. Easily. An honorable mention right there. What else? Oh, let's do a bit of Old Mate No Mates.
Old Mate No Mates.
Old Mate No
Mates.
Old Mate No Mates.
Old Mate No Mates.
Old Mate No Mates.
Who's got no mates today? Oh, boo. Do you reckon it's Andrew? I was saying boo Ogut. Andrew Bogut getting booed every time he touched the ball was absolutely amazing from the Chinese fans. All because he talks shit about that Chinese druggy swimmer. Amazing. He was also fucking great in this game though, Bogut. I feel like it's a lot easier to boo someone when they're throwing elbows, getting amazing boards, and just being an all-round menace. He was awesome. Defensively, some of his pick and roll coverage, he got beat a couple of times. Some of the weak side stuff was out there. But that's just kind of part and parcel of this Boomers team. They just need to tighten that up. And you're hoping that against Senegal and Lithuania that we can do exactly that. But Bogut's actual just very presence in some of these games is just an absolutely amazing deterrent. His rebounding is massive. He's just basically being a really crucial component of a lot of things that we do. He ends up with 12 points, 9 rebounds, 6 of 7 from the floor. He was really, really, really good. I'll tell you what. Jingles steals numbers. Like, it was also pretty fun to watch this. You know, I didn't actually touch on this, but like forcing turnovers. Patty, Jingles, Dally. Just lots of sort of forcing errant passes from the Canadians. It was pretty great. But speaking of which, what about Spud of the Night?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the Night.
I mean, there's Kevin Pangos, who basically looks like the most dude named Kevin ever. You know, kept waiting as this got tweeted at me. Kept waiting for him to be called the Canadian Steve Nash, which I thought was pretty great. 14 points on 15 shots. Kobe! Not bad. 8 assists, though. He was pretty good. He was a minus 12, but man, I feel like, you know, he did go on his run in the third quarter and was really, really good. But the actual spot of the night has to go to Phil Scrub. Scrub by name, Scrub by nature. Oh, that's a rough one. Out there with his brother. And it was pretty funny just sort of seeing how many times the Canadian leaning announcers would love to fall over themselves about the Scrubs playing on Canada. But Phil, 4 of 12 from the field, 1 of 3 from downtown, 1 turnover, and a legitimate jaw-dropping, obviously game-leading or disappointing, minus 27 in 22 minutes. Yeah. You feel like a couple more of his shots go in. There was like just that moment where you're like, oh shit, this is a pretty rough stretch for the Canadians. And yeah, the Scrubs were kind of in the middle of it. Anyway, there you go. Phil, Spud of the Night. Pantsing of the Night. This just goes to the Australian D with that third quarter. Jesus. I've rewatched it. We gave up 40 points in the first half and gave up 37 in the third quarter. Oh my God. The defense was just embarrassing at times. Just nobody on the perimeter. I've yelled at length about this Boomers perimeter defense being sort of lacking in speed and athleticism, and that showed up pretty loudly. And yeah, look, the ball handling as well. This is another thing the Aussies really need to tighten up. 22 points from Australian turnovers by three-quarter time the Canadians had. So, bit rough, bit panty-ish. Tough, though. But hey, they came out with a win. Can't really complain too much. What about Bevan Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're gonna get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
As long as, you know, everybody's hanging out watching his youngest brother play for Illawarra, I guess. Anyway, rock 'em, sock 'em, block 'em, jock 'em. Landale was unreal again last night. 22 minutes for the young Aussie. 22 minutes, 8 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. One turnover and one block. He was awesome. Goes 1 of 4 from downtown. It's very fun to see him just go, hey, you dickheads left me open. I can shoot these. And obviously, when it comes to better than Lonzo Ball, I mean, 1 of 4 is basically historically better than Lonzo anyway. So great stuff. Launching the threes are great. He was on the court when Canada went on their run in the third quarter. And I do like how we can watch Jock, you know, rock 'em, sock 'em, block 'em, jock 'em. Grow, like watching him from, you know, through the exhibition games, dude just can keep up with guards. His energy is huge. The way he moves against guards defensively, it shows you like there's like a little bit of upside on the guy. And yeah, look, he wasn't great in that third quarter, but he was really good. I love his energy. I just love watching Jockham play. It's awesome. So good job. Rock him, suck him, block him, jock him. Landale, you are better than Lonzo Ball. And finally, how about, I've missed this, Dickhead of the Weekend.
Dickhead of the Week!
Kend, hey, so did anyone else think it was pretty fucking weird that the commentators for the Australia-Canada game were seemingly, I don't know, Justin Bieber and Celine Dion? Or how about Justin Trudeau and Alanis Morissette? Fucking hell. Like, the only way it could be more biased is if I was doing the commentary for Australia. Like, what the fuck was that? Those goddamn Canadian-loving commentators, it was one of the more head-scratching things I think I've ever seen. And look, the female commentator, she has obviously covered a lot of stuff. She knew her stuff about a bunch of the NBL guys. That was awesome. But for fuck's sake, like, having actual just, like, Canada be repped the entire time as we're shit pumping them. It was pretty fucking embarrassing for everybody involved. But anyway, speaking of which, also Dickhead of the Weekend. Me. Yeah, Nick Kay continues to make me look like a fucking idiot. He was really good. I really, really enjoyed his hustle and energy yesterday. He's handy every time he's out in the court. I'm still not entirely convinced why he's playing over the Creek Freak as much as he is, but he's not a liability. He's not being shit. Not yet. So, yeah, you know, I'm usually a dickhead. We all get that, but Nick Kay, really making me look like a fucking idiot. Hey, I apologize last week. I'm not going to do it again, but anyway, there you go. All right, let's do some yeah-nahs right after this break.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. There you go. Cool. See, we're flying through this one. We're just going to do some yeah nahs. We're going to do an unpopular opinion of the day. We're going to do an Outback Takehouse. That'll just about be it. Pretty good. Nice one. I mean, I could talk more about the other World Cup games, but at the same time, I don't know. A lot of lopsided results in the first round of games in the last couple of days. So anyway, this is yeah nah, where we take a bunch of storylines and decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, after watching them beat Canada, and this kept getting asked to me as well, can Australia win a medal? It's like one game. Yeah, nah. Look, I talked about this with Stav from Blue Juice last week. If things break right for us, we tighten up on a D. Yeah. The thing is, Lithuania shit pumped Senegal. They look good. Greece, Spain, USA, they all looked really good too. Serbia, absolutely fucking smoked Angola, and I don't know anything about Angola, but I know Angola are in trouble. That's a nice little Chuck Barkley throwback for you. So I do wonder if our D is going to be good enough to get us through to like the pretty wild quarters qualifying. So, look, I hold out hope, and I think we've got enough offense, but I do sort of just worry about that... you know, the consistency of the offense. And when, you know, we rely on King Daly,
to have like this amazing out of body experience and drop a million threes to get past Canada when nothing else is seemingly working and our D isn't really helping. It's a bit of a worry. So look, I still hold out hope that we do medal and that would be fucking amazing. But yeah, just saying. All right, number two. Well, just kind of talking about it. Is King Deli, Matty Dellavedova's shot fixed? Yeah, nah, I mean, yeah, it's still ugly in that kid Chris I went to high school with. But fuck, it goes in. I mean, which is pretty surprising after it was always looking very, very short and pretty bad, actually, during the exhibition games against Canada and the US. But, man, give him enough space, let him loose, and King Deli, that shot, feeling good. And don't forget, this is Deli in a contract year this year going into, his season with the Cavs. He needs to prove that, yeah, he should be out there crushing it for at least another contract in the NBA. So here's hoping this sticks. Speaking of which, kind of, bit of scoring stuff. Hey, is the door now ajar for Patty Thrills Mills to be the player or one of the players of the tournament? Yeah, nah. Yeah. It was pretty like eye-opening, I think, watching this first game about how much Canada really, really fixated on Patty. Because you can see how much he impacts the floor just with his playmaking and the threat of him going off. Obviously, his shooting is mega, mega impressive. Every time he's got the ball, Canada just like, oh, shit, we need a ball, fuck! Which makes me think that he could actually absolutely go wild in a couple of these games. And he is our best defensive threat. So if he gets, you know, another one or two really, really sort of big explosive offensive games, everyone's going to be sitting up taking notice. And we know Patty has got it in him. So it's going to be really, really fun. So yeah, Patty Thrills could be a player of the tournament. So here we go. Touch wood. Next up, should Andre Lemanis play more of the friend of the show, the Creek Freak, Mitchy Creek? Yeah, nah, fuck yes. Love his hustle, love his D, love his energy. Missed a layup yesterday, but I don't know. Lemanis seemingly fucking hates the guy and wants to be boned down with Nick Kay, but I don't know. I feel like Creaky should be off the bench a lot quicker than he has been. But anyway, it was good to see him out there running around. What did he play? 7 minutes yesterday, I think. So, 7 minutes 5. Oh, no, he did get that layup. Missed his free throws. That's what I was thinking of. But yeah, how's that? In 7 minutes, still has, you know, 3 rebounds. Absolutely crushed it running around. Absolutely smoking. Love it. On you, the Creek Freak. On you. All right. I don't know. Was there any other NBA shit I should, yeah, nah? Do you reckon Boogie will go to jail? Yeah, nah. Nah. I don't know. People that rich don't go to jail. Is Eric Gordon worth that extension? Yeah, nah. I think it's tricky. Houston have sort of painted themselves into a bit of a corner. Eric Gordon would have been a free agent after this year. They would have then been sort of stuck going, all right, if we don't have an extension for this guy, can we keep him? How does he work next to Rusty and James Harden? Also, you can always keep a, 18, $19 million contract. It becomes very, very handy when it comes to trade. So good on you, Houston. They're smart. Nice one. All right, what about the unpopular opinion of the day?
Now look at me, please.
Look at me. Both Chris Goulding and Jock Landale should be in the NBA, but at the moment their D just isn't quite good enough. And if it does improve, I think they will be. People talking about Landale's, you know, defensive prowess. Dude is young. You don't expect someone that good or that young to be, you know, this amazingly athletic, energetic, fun to watch. And defensively, I think it will improve. So Chris Goulding, though, I mean, if he can prove that he's just a dead-eye shooter and absolutely crushes it, maybe he gets a bit of the tap on the old shoulder. See how we go. Nice one. Anyway, there you go. I don't know if that's unpopular. Like, they should be in the NBA, but they're not probably because of their D, but they might anyway. There you go. All right, what about Outback Takeouts? Oh, it's been a while since we've done one of these. Come on in to Outback Takeouts. It's Monday, which means, that's right, Davo's hit another emu in his rodeo. So, up there on the special boards today is
Alice Springs chicken, and it goes great as a flame grilled take. And today's flame grilled take is Team USA will lose before the gold medal game in this FIBA World Cup. You can take that to the bloody bank. Only at Outback.
Yes, nice one. I don't know. They weren't entirely convincing against the Czech Republic yesterday. They won by 21. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how they go. But they're also, I feel like they're going to be similar to Australia, where they're going to sort of eventually sort of lock in on D a little bit better. They shot pretty okay. Kemba was good. Anyway, whatever. And we're going to finish off today. Let's do it. Oh, I just absolutely fucking love one of these. It's time for the Patty Mills Game Day Baller. Game Day Twitter check-in. Now, Patty hasn't tweeted out since the Australian exhibition games, but he did tweet out, Instagram just before getting to China. Well, actually, no, it was from China. There you go. The off-season grind is done. It's time to lay it all on the line for our country. At Australian Boomers. Kangaroo emoji. Legendary. The Creek Freak also had an Instagram. World Cup Game 1 versus Canada. Hashtag Boomers. Hashtag Let's Go. Hashtag Blessed. And we are blessed to have the Creek Freak in our life. Legendary. Nice one. All right. There you go. Game 1 in the bag. If you want me to talk about some Canadian stuff, I can talk. Look, I want to hear from you motherfuckers out there. If you want me to talk about the opposition that we play against. Look, Canada were just a little bit over the shop. In this game, I thought Corey Joseph wasn't bad, but I feel like Corey Joseph can be a lot better. And yeah, I feel like that's a big fucking problem when you don't come to Australia and miss a whole bunch of, like, you know, warm-up, tune-up games and then sort of swan in, drop in over the top and go, all right, let's kick some ass. And everyone's like, who the fuck's this guy? Oh, Corey yeah, I get that he's in the NBA, but Jesus. So, I don't know, they look a little bit discombobulated. Ken Birch is amazing. I've always loved Ken Birch. If you listen to this show, you know that. But there was, like, you know, Kyle Wiltshire just wasn't quite on song enough in this. Obviously, as I mentioned, Phil Scrub just was not great. Heslop was pretty okay. Ejim out there talking shit with Joe Ingles is pretty funny. Jingles, like, talking shit to him and calling him a fucking pussy and saying that at least I play the game the right way just before the half was really good. And Pangos is like Kevin Pangos. He's the most white bread dude named Kevin you could ever imagine. And yeah, there's just, like, just that sort of top level talent sort of missing from the Canadian team, I think. So, yeah. Anyway, there you go. That's my little bit of a Canadian rundown. I can do the same on Senegal and Lithuania when we play against them if you want me to. If not, just let me fucking know. I don't know or care. I'll do what you fucking want. All right. So that is it for today. We'll be back later this week after. We've got Senegal up next on Tuesday. So I'll be back on Wednesday. And we should also have a bit of a guest, I think, pop in later this week, which would be pretty fun. So should be good. Stick around. You know, it's what we do here. Yeah, we've got Senegal next on Tuesday, which would be good. Nice. Also, in the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're over the socials during the World Cup. You know that. We are also, big announcement, going to be throwing some interesting things up on our socials this week. So get around that. Check it out. Let us know what you think. Get around NBAAustralia.com. If you're going to go buy some shit from Amazon, first go to NBAAustralia.com. Click on the giant Amazon button there. And then they kick us a shekel or two on the back end. Help us out, man. Come on. Check us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever app you use on an Android phone. Rate and review. It helps out heaps. Don't be a dickhead. Come on. Just rate and review it. It doesn't fucking take long. Jesus. What do you got against me? Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out the new band House Hats. The debut album Running Out of Time is out now, and it is the best Australian album of the year by far. Big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Shadow, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout NBA Australia. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And we are going to finish up today with a brand new Deli review, hot off the presses from China. After a game-winning performance from King Deli, we do have a new Deli review. Awesome. All right, we'll speak to you on Wednesday, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, Learn All
Oi, 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 how the fuck are yous? Oh, it's your old mate Deli over here, just out here in fucking China with me mates on the boomers. Loving every fucking second of this, mate, I'll tell ya. Oh, I'm out here getting some culture, eating some great food. Oh, I fucking tell ya, love dumplings. All that great shit. Having an absolute fucking ball of a fucking time here in China. Awesome to get a big fucking win in game one against Canada and shit. It was fucking sick. But you know, just like being in China with the boomers, it was pretty fucking funny, I'll tell you. Making like Cam Glidden eat like bull testes the other day. It's pretty funny. Loved it. I'm like running around now calling him Cam the mustache man who also loves balls on his lips. On your Cam. Fucking classic Dally. Absolutely nailed it. And look. I don't know, did you notice? But your old mate Dally over here just fucking smashed Canada. And I'll tell you what, last time I was that fucking hot, I led me bloody mate LeBron and the Cavs to the NBA title, eh? So better get around me, just saying. Absolutely fucking smoking hot I was. It was great and felt bloody great, mate. More fun than even cruising around Maribor and my best mate Pluggers Lowered VT Commodore Ute yelling shit at people walking by going, oh, dickhead, you know? It was amazing. I had so much fucking fun. It was great to get out there, crank up the old shoulder, get that slingshot going, fucking let them loose, drop some bombs. It's fucking sick. So I'm really happy with that one. It was awesome. We got one win under the belt. Plenty more to go though. So lock in, mate. Lock in. So just quickly, I guess, with me pop culture review for this week. Look, I got to tell you, it's been a bit fucking hard trying to watch me shows while I've been out over here in China. There's like restrictions and stuff, so I don't know what the fuck's going on. So I reckon I'm like one or two episodes behind, but fucking Succession is unfucking real. I love that fucking show, mate. Nothing funnier than watching like Tom be a fucking dickhead or Cousin Greg be a dumbass and that Kendall prick look like a fucking sweaty pedo all the time. It's great stuff. Look, it's a bit hard to do a review because I haven't seen the last two, but like I might have to like use Bogey's computer to watch like last week or so I can actually review it for you next week. But so far it's been like, oh shit, they didn't get bought out. And like Kendall's a fucking bitch and like now it's on for young and old and Shiv's like doing shit and you know, the other dickhead's like thinking about running for president and it's just some dumb shit. It's funny as hell and I fucking love it. Oh, I can't wait to see what fucking happens in Succession. So yeah, use Bogey's computer. Hopefully it doesn't have any viruses and shit and no Chinese fuckers yell at me for using it. So there you go. Succession's fucking sick. I'm stoked it's back. Almost as stoked as I am to drop 6 threes and a bunch of maple syrup sucking dickheads from Canada. So yeah, nice one. All right, that's it for this week. Here's hoping we smash Senegal and Lithuania and Bogut stops farting on the team bus. Fuck, I'll tell you, mate. It's like someone dug up a dead cow or something. All right, later, cunts. Deli out.